Many years ago, Virgil Stamps wrote the words and then later the music to a song that we sing quite frequently. It says, "As I travel through life with its troubles and strife, I've a glorious hope to give cheer on my way. Soon my toil will be o'er and I'll rest on that shore where the night has been turned into day." That song is about life. One of the ways in which the Bible and countless spiritual songwriters has illustrated our lives here on this earth is with the image of a journey. This evening we're going to talk about our journey. I have, as you know, made several trips to Mexico to visit our brethren down there, and in fact I'm just now trying to finalize some travel arrangements for later this month to go down and spend some time with Brother Chavez and some of the other brethren. I'm not a professional traveler, nor would I ever want to be one, but I have learned a few things about taking that kind of trip in particular. And from time to time, there have been others, some even from this congregation, who have gone with me. And one of the most common questions that is asked of me from someone who's never been on a trip like that is what to do and how to prepare for that kind of trip. Usually, the question is, what do I need to take? Well, what you take is very important. There are some things that you don't take that are very important that you don't take them, and then there'll always be some things that you should have carried, and it was important that you should have carried them, but you didn't. And you remember next time all the more to be sure and carry those things. I know that you're probably tired by now, and I'm on the outer fringes of making references to the new year. Incidentally, if you listen to the radio program this morning, I apologize. The person there played last Sunday's tape again, and it had references to the new year. And that was a mistake on someone's part. And perhaps if you heard last Sunday and this Sunday, you may have enjoyed a rerun. But otherwise, we tend to talk a lot about the new year this time of year. This is the first Sunday of the new year. We're beginning a new journey into this new year, and as we make this journey, we need to remember that it holds the unknown and the unexpected many times. How can we prepare for this journey? How can we Is there anything that we should do, or are there some things that we should do that we didn't do last year at this time? What are we needing to do in order to travel well in 2008? You know, there are all kinds of attitudes that people approach the new year with. Some are full of apprehension and worry because of the unknown and perhaps because of some experiences of recent years, and the wonder, the pondering of the possibilities of that which may come to pass in the coming days. Some people spend their lives full of worry and anxiety. At the other end of the extremes, I suppose we should acknowledge the fact that there are always those who approach anything new and even a new year with a sort of a flippant unconcern, que sera, sera, what will be, will be. I'm convinced that we need to be somewhere in the middle of those with a balance. And so this evening I would offer these four suggestions in order to travel well in this new year that we've already started. Number one would have to be, don't forget your map. It's always a good idea to take along a map. Now, if you've got one of these new cars that has a navigation system, now those things are fabulous. Beth got one in her car, and that thing just never ceases to amaze me. I still get lost all the time, but that's only because she doesn't let me drive her car much. A map is always hard to beat. And whenever I go to Mexico, I usually, in fact, I've got a map that I carry with me on every trip. It's a little small one that I fold up and it fits in my pocket very well. And I don't take it because I'm necessarily going into unfamiliar territory or even because I don't necessarily remember where these towns are in relationship to one another because I've been to them many times. But one of the benefits that I get out of that map is that every time I unfold it and look at it and begin to see where I'm going, I see things that I'd missed before. Maybe you've had that experience with your Bible. Because that is a characteristic of God's book, God's roadmap. Every time we open it up, it holds for us things that we perhaps had never noticed before. Not because they weren't there, but because of the nature many times of our study habits and so forth. The Bible needs to be our guide, our map, to carry us through this present year. David said, Psalm 119, verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." There are very few statements in Scripture that are any more simple and yet at the same time more profoundly important. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The Bible is our roadmap, and it will keep us from losing our way so that we never reach our destination. The Bible will keep us from wandering into territory in which we don't belong. The Bible will keep us from wasting unnecessary time searching for the way to go. The Bible. Use it. Keep it. Follow it. Heard of a little girl who was given a Bible story book, and she sat down and flipped through every page searching and finding God's name in that book. And every time she found the name God, she circled it with a pencil. And her mother, stifling her first reaction to chide the little girl for defacing the book, quietly asked her, "Honey, why are you doing that?" The little girl's matter-of-fact answer was, "So that when I need God, I'll know where to find Him." When we need God, we know where to find Him. One of the best places to find Him is in His Word. Don't forget your map. It's always very important, and I've learned this in my travels. If you ever go to Mexico with me, you'll find there's a real good reason why you need to travel as light as you possibly can. My philosophy for that kind of travel is pack light and move fast. The overhead compartment in a bus or an airplane is not very big, and time spent wasted standing around the luggage carousel is time you can't make up. One lesson that has been rather easy to learn is that it is very easy to get overloaded. Did you know that life's journey is the very same way? It is very easy to get overloaded. They're just all kind of little things that look so neat and that would be so handy. But when it comes right down to it, they're nothing but dead weight. And the dead weight is what we need to put aside. In fact, the writer of Hebrews in chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore, let us also, seeing that we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." There is so much that we need to lay aside. Not just sin. There are other things that are not in and of themselves inherently wrong or sinful, but things that keep us from being as productive as we should be, things that keep us from reacting as quick as we should, things that prevent us from putting the resources into the areas where God will bless them most. I've got them in my life and you've got them in yours. So let's be honest about the fact that we need to think seriously about traveling a little bit lighter. After all, when we're free from carrying personal burdens, we have more room and more strength to help carry the burdens of those around us who need us. For Paul said in Galatians 6, verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If you're weighted down with so many of your own burdens that it would be fruitless for anybody to ever come to you, think seriously about trimming the load a little bit. Travel as light as you can, but even with that in mind, it's also very important that we be sure to take along what we really need. If you need a toothbrush, you better take one if you go where I go in Mexico, because the hotel won't have any spares. There are some things that we really need. And perhaps, in view of that last point, one of the reasons we're not carrying some of the things that we really need is that we've loaded up so heavy with the things that we don't really need. I'm sure that Butch and David could tell us quite a bit about knowing how to pack and what to pack, as the military is famous for teaching you, Fred and some of the others. We need to take along into this new year some confidence. Confidence in God. Psalm 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will boast in the name of Jehovah our God. How's your confidence in God? It shows whether it's little or great. It is very obvious. We need to have confidence in ourselves. Not in that we are able to do everything by ourselves, but because we can do all things through Him who strengthens us, Philippians 4, verse 13. We need to have confidence in one another. It may be that we're afraid to put our confidence in one another to some respect. And one of the reasons why we are often afraid to trust others is because we don't feel like anyone can trust us. Confidence can get out of hand, but to the right extent, it's irreplaceable. We need to take along some contentment. We owe it to God. After all, He has given us His very best. And we need to be satisfied with it. We owe it to ourselves to live lives of contentment, because we'll be happier, healthier, we'll usually live longer, and we'll definitely serve God better if we will perfect the matter of contentment. We owe it to other people. A discontented, constantly unhappy, complaining person makes a poor advertisement for Christianity. A certain farmer had lived on the same farm all of his life, and it was a good farm, but with the passing of years, he'd grown kind of weary of it and just sort of deep down inside longed for a change. And every day he found a new reason for criticizing some part or other of the farm that he lived on. Finally decided to sell it. So he called up a real estate agent who came out and wrote up a sales advertisement, and as you might expect, it listed all of the great advantages of the place. Ideal location, modern equipment, healthy livestock, acres of fertile ground, and so forth. And the realtor then gave a copy of the ad to the farmer to let him read it. And when he'd finished reading, he said, "Hold on here. I'm not going to sell this place. I've been looking for a place like this all my life." Isn't that the way we are? We stop about a step and a half short of recognizing how good we've got it. We need to be content. We need courage. I'm told that the motto in days past of the French Foreign Legion, who were very famous fighters, is, "If I falter, push me on. If I stumble, pick me up. If I retreat, shoot me." In all seriousness, one of the reasons why in the Lord's church today we're not any stronger than we are is because we have laid aside our courage on so many fronts. We need to be spiritually courageous. Consecration. A well-known uninspired religious leader once said, "I will cut myself off from all things that consume energy, time, and money, which do not have in them the redemptive element." In other words, I'm going to quit spending time and money on all these things that don't make me a better, stronger Christian. Something to think about there. When we give God everything and let Him use us, all of us, every bit of us, it works. Number four, and this is perhaps one of the most important, expect to enjoy the journey. Some of us appear to dwell so deeply in the negative that it's surprising that we ever enjoy anything. You know, this year can be a good year if you don't insist on having your way about everything. It may be a journey over a rough road, but God can bring along the happiness and the joy, no matter what that road may bring. Look up. And then keep your perspective right. Three men visited the Grand Canyon one time. They each had a different perspective. One of them was an artist. The other was a minister. The third one was a cowboy. As they stood on the edge of that massive abyss, the artist exclaimed, "What a beautiful scene to put on canvas." The minister looked out over that great expanse and he said, "What a wonderful example of the handiwork of my loving Heavenly Father." And the cowboy took one look off the edge there and he said, "Mercy, what a place to lose a cow." You know, it just all depends on how you look at it. And a lot of times, how you look at it is heavily influenced by where you are and what you're doing. If we'll live our lives to please God and seek not only the betterment of ourselves within the confines of His will, but also the betterment of others around us, sometimes even at our own expense, we'll have a perspective that will enable us to see the very best in others, in ourselves, and in God. Have a good trip. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.